The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who's kept me sane through this whole coronavirus pandemic. The trendsetter, Brian Berg, my tag team partner. Man, trendsetter, it is WrestleMania weekend. We are back. I wish it was under different circumstances, but this is the hand that we're dealt, so this is how we're going to deal with WrestleMania weekend. We are here safe and sound and going to enjoy 2 days of WrestleMania, not the likes that we've ever seen before.
Hopefully never see again.
Definitely would have enjoyed being on that road to Tampa this year, but things are different. The world is different. And first and foremost, trendsetter, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I wish I could tell you I'm doing great, Jeff, honestly. But again, we're all trying to make the best of this situation. It is what it is. Right now, Jeff and I would be in Tampa Bay, and Jeff kept reminding me of stuff we were going to do, and I kept telling him to shut up because it was making me feel bad. But you know, Jeff, he just likes to poke the bear every once in a while. But no, like I said, it's depressing, but again, you have to make the most of a bad situation here, what's going on. WrestleMania will happen. It's a two-night event now. The event too big where it had to be done two nights in a row. So, and there's going to be a lot of matches on the card, so looking forward to it. So, yeah, let's break this down, because this is one of the most interesting dynamics I've ever seen, Jeff, where, like, we saw Friday Night SmackDown together to a certain degree. We're practicing our social distancing. But yeah, at the same time, like, we saw it, and, like, John Cena, towards the tail end of SmackDown Live, said something pretty interesting as he was promoting his match with Bray Wyatt, saying that this is going to be the first time where, like, everyone is going to either, one, not be interested in watching this, which I've heard certain reports that people are showing an interest of not wanting to watch WrestleMania, and two, you have no other choice. If you want to see WrestleMania, you can't be physically there live, so a lot of people are going to be joining the network and watching this on the network, so it's like you're going to have nobody in the audience in terms of the performance center. We're going to have undivided attention now. So in this sense, there's more pressure.
Well, it's the only thing that's on, basically. Yeah. You know, and right now we're starting for content. I mean, man, I've watched NBA players play their NBA 2K. I've seen NASCAR guys do virtual races. You know, it's nice to go back and look at old football games and baseball games. But we want live content. We want stuff that's new. And although this is all pre-taped, one of the kind of good aspects about this is that we don't know what's going to happen. They've held it very close to the vest, and really we don't know what we're going to see, and that's the curiosity of it. Are we going to tune in to watch what's going to happen? You know, this is the first time. Again, it's two nights, it's pre-taped, and you don't know exactly what's going to occur, and you know, it's going to be a different aspect, trendsetter, something that, again, is out of the norms. But you know, when you look at what's out there, this is going to be, to me, something where I can hopefully slip away for the next two nights for about 4 hours, 5 hours, and just, you know, not think about all the stuff that's going on in the world. So, you know, a lot of people are going to say, hey, you know, WWE should have just canceled it. She just waited till all this happened. But then again, you know, kudos to them for trying to, you know, whether you want to believe them or not, and say that they want to put smiles on people's faces, and that's their job. So whichever angle you're on tonight, though, we're all going to be watching, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I'm fascinated with what's going to go on with John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I like what I see from John Cena, and man, he's laying off the weights, right? He looks so different now.
Wow, it's ridiculous. Yeah, man. Now that's the Hollywood look that he's going for, because remember, Rock had a similar transition where he was just too big and bulky. They wanted him to slim down a little bit for Hollywood, but then that just wasn't it, and then he got all bulked up. And which way he looks like right now. You think it looks like John's following that same pattern.
Yeah.
Or just can't maintain that weight anymore.
He looks very lean, and, you know.
That's a nice way of saying it. He looks like he's sick.
I don't think. Like, I hope not. Hopefully he's okay. But like,
no,
he looks.
No, you know what I mean, though. Like, yeah, you've had the cold or the flu for a while, you lose weight drastically.
Yeah, well, I mean, lean is a nice way to say, you know, hey, he's not, you know, his regular workout regimen probably. So it's gonna be interesting tonight. And I think what we decided to do is we'll try to get you a post on Sunday. And react so you guys have something to listen to. So, but Trendsetter, even before you get into WrestleMania, I just want to thank you for getting my head back in the game because, you know, with all this stuff going around, people, you know, tend to like, you know, maybe go off the ledge and try to, you know, maybe kind of like lose sight of that this is going to end eventually and life will get back to normal one day. But, you know, it's kind of tough, man. And, like, I know I've had my issues dealing with all this stuff. And you've been really putting up a huge, you know, you've been like a rock, like a foundation for the show here and trying to get us out there. And my apologies to Brian Fritz and Jeremy Gomez because, you know, we had a tremendous show plan. And we had a bunch of stuff lined up where we were going to, like, you know, we're going to see through this pandemic. We're going to get through it together. We're going to line up double guests. We had The Dark Side of the Ring, that tremendous documentary with Benoit, the whole story of that, man. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, yeah, we're going to go into this and we're going to kick, you know, the coronavirus's ass here on the show because we're going to offer you the content. But, you know, Trendsetter, man, like, it's amazing how it affects other people because some people just sometimes are just, you know, you just don't think there's an end in sight, man. And, you know, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for keeping me sane. And, you know, I'll always be there for you. But, man, it's just been crazy, dude, you know. And it's great to be talking about wrestling. Wish we were in Tampa, but man, Trendsetter, man, it's just a different world. And I never, you always think of the worst, but never think that it could get really, really to that point. You know, and it's gotten to that point, especially in a city that we love, that we work at and where we're located at too, where it's hit the most. And, you know, we just want to say, you know, here that, you know, we're going to try to divert you guys here for as much as we can. We're going to try to get back to normal too with a little post WrestleMania too after the weekend starts. But man, get into norms and the little things, Trendsetters, stuff that like we take for granted. And it's been tough, man. It's been a battle with the mind.
It has been a battle of the mind, and this has been probably the strongest mentally we've all been challenged. But again, because again, there's nothing to compare it to in our lifetime of what's occurred. But more than anything, it's like there are certain things and certain events that happen in life, Jeff, where like things just stand still.
Yeah.
And like certain things get postponed or moved to a certain day. This is the first time I can remember that everything stopped. Everything.
Yeah.
Not just sports or certain forms of entertainment, everything. Our daily routine, their daily lives have stopped. The norm is no such thing as norm. Now, I'm sure what we're all doing right now during WrestleMania weekend is trying to find a new sense of normalcy, which isn't anything to brag about. But again, you have to in those times. Either you adapt to it or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to be in a whole lot of, you know, trouble in terms of dealing with depression and stuff like that. But it's good to have scenarios like this. Like, I was kind of thinking, oh, if they postpone this to June, and we spoke about this with Brian Fritz before, like, oh, how do you continue the storyline till June o'clock, till June, if they do it at Madison Square Garden, which would be pretty cool if it did happen in Madison Square Garden during that summertime area. But no, I mean, they're sticking with it, and, you know, I applaud WWE for doing it. They're taking a huge risk here. But at the same time, you know, they want to keep business as usual. So part of it could be, like, we want to put a smile on people's faces. But I look at it as this, that, you know, Vince McMahon, even during, and I hate to compare the two, but during the events of September 11th, when we had no sense of normalcy either.
Show must go on.
Show must go on. We must go back to trying to live our lives as we can see fit during these tough times that we're dealing with right now with this pandemic. But like I said, it's great to talk about wrestling. It's great to sometimes take our mind off things because if you look at the news right now, everything is just so depressing. Things are getting worse or things people are fighting, arguing, people pointing the fingers. So it's nice to look at something like this. Although, you know, they've tried their best promoting it and they've done their best trying to build up WrestleMania. It's just hard to do it. It's like a sinking ship in a sense. You're not going to get the same type of momentum going to any other WrestleMania. But one thing I must say, though, with these events that have happened, the Performance Center, the Raws and SmackDowns, the one thing I will say that I've really kind of enjoyed or I've seen a sense of change is that, you know, now people are having the ability to talk on the microphone.
Yeah.
So it's really sink or swim. You have no audience. You have no reaction to feed off of. It's really, can you be convincing? Can you be genuine? Can you relate your emotion through your eyes into the camera, into my soul? It does work. And for some people, it's been amazing. Undertaker cut a great promo on AJ Styles.
Kevin Owens.
Edge has done a great job building up that promo. And again, you also give credit to Randy Orton and what he's done prior to that too. So, you know, it just shows a different type of dynamic behind it. And it's more going to be, I feel this WrestleMania just going to be more of a Hollywood feel. A lot of it's going to be produced. A lot of the things that we don't see during a live taping event.
Chance for them to experiment. With the production quality, and you're gonna get good production value, but again though, it looks like it's gonna be back to norm here on the High Spot Podcast on BodySlam.net on the Shining Wizards Network. We want to thank them for being so patient, and again, man, we just want to provide you guys some content so that you guys can enjoy whichever way you're gonna watch WrestleMania on the network on Fight. It's gonna be on Fight TV too. You get a 1 hour kickoff show both nights. So let's preview this sucker, Trendsetter. Let's get back to what we do best and what we enjoy in talking wrestling. And we talk about Cena and Bray Wyatt, and that to me draws my eye because you're kind of getting a little bit of a heelish John Cena, a little bit of him speaking the truth, saying he's going to do what he should have done 6 years ago, and that is end Bray Wyatt, and it's going to be a Firefly Funhouse match, Trendsetter. I really like the promo this past Friday on SmackDown as we head into WrestleMania. I really think that this is going to be...
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be the first time ever we've ever seen something like this.
Exactly. What is a Firefly Funhouse match? I don't know, but we will all find out.
Do we want to know, though, is the question. Well, we're going to know.
We're going to know. I kind of take it to like a broken Matt Hardy kind of deal thing where it's going to be somewhere in a complex. But, who knows? That's the curiosity. It's going to be the mystery. And in my opinion, though, I think John Cena will do what he is going to go there and do. And I think it's going to put over Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt will get his win back from WrestleMania 30.
What's so cool about this is that we've seen a different side of John Cena. And the only time I can compare it to is when he faced Roman Reigns, where like he was bearing. He was getting very personal. Yeah. And stuff that we were talking about before, about the whole, it's funny, we're sitting in these chairs, guys. You can't see it. We're sitting in these chairs from like WrestleMania 30. Where it all kind of happened in the sense where, like, they're not from WrestleMania 30, but, they're basically from New Orleans, the last one we went to. But then at WrestleMania 30, when Daniel Bryan, the whole Yes movement happened, that was the whole premise of what WrestleMania was all about. But secondly than that was the fact that Bray Wyatt had a chance to defeat John Cena and build himself even bigger than he was, and it didn't happen. And a lot of people were saying it was that particular moment where things went in a downward spiral for Bray Wyatt. For the mere fact for John Cena to bring it up makes me think, all right, WWE's aware of this, or John Cena's aware of people talking about it, and is bringing it up to the forefront, saying, basically stating that the failures rest on Bray Wyatt, not John Cena defeating him at WrestleMania, and that he's going to finish what he did at WrestleMania 30 and bury Bray Wyatt once and for all. It's like, this is cool. This is getting personal. And usually when this is the case, what tends to happen, at least what happened with Roman Reigns, when he threw that promo on Roman Reigns saying, fine, you want to blame me? I blame you. I'm still here because you can't do your job. Was amazing, and Roman got over on him. I think this is what's building up for Bray Wyatt, but unlike WrestleMania 30, Jeff, and unlike this, even if Bray does win and defeat John Cena at WrestleMania, it's not going to be the same as if what could have happened. I know we can't look back in the past, but man, what could have happened then compared to now just seems like it's like they're trying to rectify for past mistakes that were done prior to this current WrestleMania we're going to deal with right now, so... I don't know. I don't feel, as much as I think Bray's done a great job developing this new character, I just don't think whatever you do nowadays, defeating John Cena, it's going to do Bray Wyatt any good.
Well, I say Bray Wyatt's going to get his win back. What do you think?
Yeah, he's going to get his win back too. But you think it's going to help him in terms of the momentum he lost?
It sucks because timing sucks, man, because they only have... I know they recorded for next Raw and SmackDown, but I don't know how much... they recorded after that, so I don't know if they're able to tell the story properly after The Fiend getting his win over John Cena, but I do believe that The Fiend will get his win over John Cena, so we will see. Again, it's a very difficult time here to tell the story, especially with how much production WWE was able to get out after WrestleMania. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. At first, I was not into it, but then Kevin Owens kind of bought me in with his promo, like you said, very heartfelt, and WWE getting into the whole, you know, the swear words and the cursing too, which is kind of like raises the eyebrow, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool, this is interesting.
You're a bastard.
Yeah, really, you know, really wasn't a fan of Seth's, you know, whole, you know, spiritual kind of gimmick thing, whatever like that. But
so you're not a fan of the Money in the Messiah thing?
No, but I'm a fan of their work, so I'm a fan of them wrestling here. And we'll see if Kevin Owens can burn it down. He hasn't had his WrestleMania moment. Seth has had a ton, although it's both true. Would say that, you know, they kind of needed help to get the WrestleMania moments. Although, you know, you go back to Seth last year, he, you know, that was all him. That was all Seth Rollins, his WrestleMania moment, defeating Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. So who goes over here? Does Kevin Owens burn it down? I'm going to say that he does. I'm going to say that Kevin Owens is able to defeat Seth Rollins in this match.
I would agree, too. I mean, the whole big thing has been built up, what you just said before, you know, Kevin Owens, and this is something that's been so overdone now where people are talking about WrestleMania moments, where I feel like, you know, those are things that are done organically. And it's something we always talk about, things done organically. Now it's like they're trying to script and make it a WrestleMania moment. Now they're trying to produce it rather than have it done organically or just have that moment happen for you that we all remember as years go by and we talk about a certain match or a certain storyline. With Kevin, though, he does need that moment now because he really hasn't had that opportunity. He thought he had that with Jericho. And then Vince basically told him that match with Jericho for the United States Championship was probably one of the worst matches he'd seen. Really, I think kind of had a shot in terms of the confidence for Kevin Owens. So this is huge for him. He's kind of reinventing himself to a certain degree. I don't know. I'm still kind of iffy in terms of, like, do I see Kevin Owens as a babyface really well as opposed to when he's a heel? I think he's a much better heel, but I'm giving him the opportunity as a babyface. Unlike with Seth Rollins, there's no question he's a better heel than a babyface. Just there's something about him that you kind of just want to hate rather than cheer for. So, yeah, I'm thinking this all built for Kevin Owens to go over right now and have his moment. But, man, what a way to have your moment in front of no audience whatsoever. You know, it's like you wish you had it in Tampa Bay in that stadium, that arena, to hear that roar. But at the end of the day, I think WWE should invest more time in Kevin Owens because right now he really hasn't had a good run. So hopefully this could be the start of it by going over on Seth Rollins.
Yeah, so, you know, again, though, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins have a tremendous past. From the Ring of Honor days and stuff like that on the independent scene. So these are two guys that, you know, came into the WWE and, you know, that past is going to be behind them and it's going to be what happens this weekend at WrestleMania. So it's going to be an interesting aspect, interesting scenario. I actually got interested in the match because of Kevin Owens' promo. And like you said, those heartfelt promos.
Yeah. They had,
you know,
time.
Because they're really –
It's not like the wrapping up. You have 7 minutes to get your point across. No, you have time. You have time to go out there, and Kevin did a great job.
Yeah, who would have thought that Otis and Dolph Ziggler would be something where everyone is looking forward to the match? Everyone's like, you know, we finally now found out the truth that the reason why Mandy Rose and Otis was late was because of Sonya Deville and Dolph Ziggler doing a little bit of
I gotta be honest, I missed that part. What was Sonya's reasoning behind that? Does she have a crush on Mandy too?
I don't know. I know that she was
jealous?
In her phone and she caused all that. And Ziggler, of course, I mean, has a thing for Mandy. See, here's the thing though, he has a thing for Mandy, so I don't know what Sonya got out of it, but the truth has been exposed. Mm-hmm. And
I saw on Twitter somewhere somebody said like GTV is back.
Yeah. Yeah. Really. You thought it was the truth. I thought it was truth killings, right? You said it was.
Oh, no. I said, wait for it to be like our truth because we're talking about the truth.
Truth is exposed. Like,
yeah. No, I never said it was him.
Though. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but I mean, here's something.
Funny would be, my bad.
Yeah. Here's something where we were rooting for Otis and Manny to get together, and this is something for, you know, listen. WrestleMania is, like you said it perfectly, it's going to be like 31 flavors of ice cream. You're getting this one here.
Hey, I use that for AVN. I don't use that for wrestling.
And so Otis, is he going to come out victorious? Is he going to come out walking away with Mandy Rose? Are they going to go on their first date once the social distancing is not a thing anymore? We'll find out. But again, it's for everybody to WrestleMania. So people might like this one. People might not want to watch this. But you're going to get this matchup at WrestleMania, and I'm going to go Otis all the way.
Well, it's the grandest stage of variety show you could ever go, right? Yeah. It has a little bit for everybody. You know, if you're interested in that type of storyline, I mean, last time I was interested in a storyline like that, Jeff, it was Chris Jericho and Trish Stratus. I so badly wanted those two to come together and be a couple and be this power couple. And then Christian, that bastard, and Trish turning her back on Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 20. But, people are interested in storylines like that. As cheesy it is sometimes, it might be, especially nowadays, the way they produce it. People are interested in that. But, you know what I applaud more than anything? You know, put Sonya Deville and Dolph Ziggler aside here in a sense. Look at Mandy and Otis. For the mere fact that, look at the fact that they've invested time on something completely different than what we normally see. And I'm really happy for a guy like Otis, although, you know, Heavy Machinery's been dodging the Jersey Wrecking Crew since Orlando. They've been dodging us since WrestleMania, you know. And Otis, you know, come on, man. Let's call a spade here. You guys are running from us.
He reminds me of the Kool-Aid guy.
He's an awesome guy. Yeah, when we met them in the Performance Center, both of them were awesome people. But it's cool to see that he's getting it. Or getting the ability to showcase another side of himself. Because sometimes, especially with tag team wrestling, you don't have the ability. Mandy showing other layers of herself in terms of a character. I wouldn't say it's the best acting I've ever seen in my life, but it's kind of cool. So it's cool to see a different dynamic. The way they're building it up, you got to think, Otis is coming on top. But they might do that swerve again they did at WrestleMania 20, where Mandy might be turning her back on Otis, and Ziggler ends up getting the victory.
I'm iffy on Tucker. I don't know what he's up to.
That might be, too. Might be the end of Heavy Machinery. Who knows? You never know. Because he's been dealing with a lot of it, too. Because, we all know, guys, what it's like.
He's kind of been in between.
Be that third wheel and just being so annoyed. Oh, this guy's so love-struck. I'm so sick of it type of mentality.
Trendsetter, what if tonight was the night that Drew McIntyre walked away with the WWE Championship? Like, what if, how do you feel about that situation, that matchup, the one that is the main event, happens on a Saturday? Like, we kind of are, like not really don't know what matches we're getting this weekend, but, you know, how crazy would it be if Drew and Brock is on Saturday instead of Sunday? And, you know, you've heard a lot of Brock, but Drew, to me, has been kind of quiet. You really haven't heard that much from him. And this is, to me, the spot where Brock passes the torch. But again, it could be WWE saying, hey, you know what? Listen, man, Drew, you know, we wanted to put the rocket ship on you, the rocket pack on you. But
it sounded like Ultimate Warrior for a second. The rocket ship,
the spaceship going up to the, but maybe it's just not the time because of the timing, It's not going to be that WrestleMania moment that Drew's gonna want.
Yeah.
I don't think Drew cares. I really don't, but this could be something where WWE maybe holds off and say, hey, listen, let's have Brock win here, and then once everything gets back to normal, maybe SummerSlam or down the road, you get that win back. I'm torn, because if you would have told me a month ago, I would have said Drew all the way. Now, I don't know. The way that Paul Heyman speaks, and we talked about that spoiler alert, it really doesn't happen too often where his spoiler alerts get spoiled. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting.
Did a couple times, though.
Yeah, but more often than not, spoiler alerts and those those come out true. So
don't get choked up on me, Jeff, there for a second. No.
Yeah, a little choked up there, Trendsetter. But that's fine. But how do you feel about it? It's Saturday, not Sunday. It should be the culmination, right, of WrestleMania.
Well, if you're asking me my pick, I still think they're going to stick with Drew. But it's going to be ultimately bittersweet because it's going to be a great moment for Drew. I'm sure he could, he'll say publicly, I could care less. It's just the fact the company entrusted me to be the champion now and being that leader and being the forefront of, what they want to do. It's something that should have happened a long time ago, something that was inevitable in terms that when you looked at Drew McIntyre, when he first had his first run in WWE to where he is now, when we met him in Orlando, when he finally was part of the NXT roster, and we're
brother,
like,
the parking
this
lot, brother,
guy
brother.
Is a monster.
Brother, you know the parking lot.
Exactly. I'm like, oh my God, I'm giving Drew Galloway, I'm giving him instructions to the parking lot where to park for a cheaper price. I'm like, this is freaking amazing. And so intimidating, but so nice. But again, he earned everything.
But should it be Sunday, though?
I think it should be still. Yeah. You know why? Because if you just said the point, what if we have Brock win and then we delay it? With stuff like that with momentum, you don't want to delay it. So you never know when you're going to have that ability to gain it back again. I think if you do the mistake, and I say it's a mistake, and have Brock win, then you're basically cutting McIntyre's legs out from under him. But at the same time, too, I kind of think that's what's going to happen, though. I still think Drew's going to go over, but they've kind of already cut his legs out from under him, Drew McIntyre, because they haven't been promoting
him. There's a great workout that he had. Scottish
TV. And they never aired it.
And I would think that WWE would be all over it, and they have not. So, you know, we're going to find out again. I hope for Drew's sake he wins. I think Drew will win, but there is that little seed of doubt that I have right now whether they will go with it. With the circumstances right now, with this whole thing going on, with,
so you have Brock,
WrestleMania moment,
you have Brock winning, retaining the
title. No, I'm going to say Drew, but okay. I do have that seedlet of doubt of whether they will go through with it, whether it's tonight or whether it's Sunday.
It's got to be Sunday, though.
Yeah,
that's your main event. You better put that on Sunday.
Yeah, and we will definitely talk about it on the post on Sunday if it happens on Saturday. Listen, we all know Roman Reigns' situation, trendsetter. I really don't blame him from pulling out of WrestleMania.
Oh, I completely blame him from doing that. How selfish can you be?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a company man, and you're thinking about yourself. How selfish are you? That's the definition of selfish.
Yeah. No, I mean, health-wise, he's got to do what's best for his family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see where the criticism is if he knew this was going to happen. He should pull out earlier. I don't see it that way because I think he was fully intent on wrestling Goldberg. And, you know, when you got to weigh the situation of he's coming off of cancer, leukemia, and his body system is weak right now at the moment, so he's susceptible to viruses like the coronavirus. So I don't blame him at all. Braun Strowman is a replacement. You know, to me, another failed run with the Intercontinental Championship. That was his first title run, and Sami Zayn now is a Intercontinental Champion. To me, Goldberg should keep this championship through, and I just don't see how Braun Strowman winning this title. To me, I just don't think that right now he could be a representable champion because, you know, it's just the roller coaster that is Braun Strowman and the way he's been booked the last year or so, and Goldberg just coming off a win over Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, and that could help. It could help Braun with that win like that, but I just see at the end, I believe they want to have Goldberg pass the torch over to Roman, and I think they'll wait on it, and I think you'll have Goldberg defeat Braun Strowman, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. I think Goldberg retains.
You know, I'm in agreement with you in terms of that's probably what should happen, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think as much as they had built it in for, you know, this could have been one of the very few last times we see Bill Goldberg, for him to pass, as you say, the torch to Roman Reigns, who, you know, regardless of anything, you know, I still think Goldberg does a better spear than Roman Reigns. Even Edge does a better spear than Roman Reigns. But I don't know if that's going to make the most sense because, again, we're in scenarios now we've never dealt with before in terms of everything that was planned out has been thrown under the rug because of what we're dealing with right now with the whole pandemic. So, but to me, yes, I agree with you. Goldberg should probably retain and they hold out as long as they can so they can finally happen. But when you build it up at that big stage to do it at another pay-per-view like, you know, TLC or do it, you know, it just doesn't have the same emphasis behind it. So I think the experiment with Goldberg and Roman, they tried it. They were close, but it just didn't happen. And that happens in wrestling sometimes. I think Braun Strowman will go over on this because I don't know what long-term plans they would have for a guy like for Bill Goldberg at this time. And, you know, I don't know if Bill Goldberg would want to still continually do business that way, too, because, you know, he's getting up there in age, too. Who knows how much longer he wants to keep doing this.
Enough to pass the torch, at least, I believe.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he might be passing the torch to somebody who wasn't intentionally supposed to do it. So I think it's going to be Braun. I think right now Braun would be better off winning the title and then somehow turning heel so that you could then give the opportunity back to Roman Reigns to win the Universal title, but it won't be with Bill Goldberg.
Can Roman Reigns be trusted that going down the road? And I'm just talking about accountability for him, for his health down the road. Can you eventually one day put the strap on him and not have these health concerns? Can you fully trust Roman Reigns?
I think you could. I think that's what the company standpoint is. They're willing to do that here before all this stuff happened. So, yeah, the faith in the company is there. I think it still could be. I mean, he hasn't really gotten injured in terms of physically in the ring, but again,
took it easy on him this year.
They took it easy on him. They really kind of took him out of the title picture, which I think was a great move because it took a lot of the detractors of Roman Reigns off. So I think even if you were to win it or defeat Goldberg, again, you're still going to have those people that boo, but I think more people have been ever since the scenario where he admitted he had leukemia again and then went through that process, have become more understanding, become more warmed towards a guy like Roman Reigns. So now that he's been out of the title picture for a while, this whole build-up again will be more of an accepting feeling. So, yeah, I think you could trust him, though. He's never shown a case that he's been injury-prone due to, like, knees or back or elbows or shoulders. Mm-hmm. But, you never know what's going to happen. It's in recession right now. You never know.
Remission.
And if it happens again, unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't, but if it does happen again, you know, they'll move on to a different procedure. So I think they're 100% confident. Do you believe that he could be the workhorse?
I think he'd still be the workhorse.
Do you feel fans would be more accepting of him now if he wins the Universal title?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think this was meant. I think Goldberg defeating Bray was meant for the fans to kind of, you know, cheer more for Roman Reigns. WWE always has a plan.
And it was done too because they were so for Bray Wyatt, and having Goldberg defeat him the way he did made people hate Goldberg, which is what you wanted to do and to build up Roman Reigns.
And this match between Randy Orton and Edge, we talk about title matches here, always should go on last. This match up here, a lot of people saying should be the main event. This has been the best probably produced, best storyline, best everything, Edge's return to WrestleMania, to the wrestling ring, and it's against Randy Orton. And, I'm very focused, very interested and focused on this matchup, last man standing. How are they going to go about this? You know what I mean? Again, they can go about it in so many ways, but they're going to do a good job. They're veterans, man. They've been through everything, all the wars, and this to me is a matchup that if you're going to argue which is the main event of WrestleMania, if it's not a title match, it's this one right here, and I'm going to go with Edge. You got to go with Edge here, returning, storybook ending, as far as like getting the win back, getting the victory over Randy Orton, getting his revenge. So I think this is Edge all the way.
I agree. I think Edge is going to win this one the way they're building up the storyline. But again, they always throw that monkey wrench in there. But I would agree with that point too, that if things had not stopped the way they've stopped so far, then yeah, I would say it was built up and it was getting built up really well to be a possible main event for WrestleMania, despite the titles. But I'd still think, honestly, even now, I'd still think that I'd still want Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar as the final match, just the way it is.
You want that Royal Rumble victory to mean something there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give the guy something. Give him something at least. You know, he won the Royal Rumble. Yeah. And but again, if things had occurred the way they've occurred so far with all the issues we're dealing with nowadays, I think it would have that strong pop. Because at the end of the day, who'd want to follow that match?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have moved it to the main event, and then, you know, Brock and Drew would probably have been second to last, which would have been made more sense for the audience. But now that you don't have an audience to deal with, I don't think it becomes an issue. I think you want that championship match to be the final one, the main event one. And but yeah, this probably wouldn't have been the most intriguing storylines I could say in a long time that I've really been interested in. And it's been done the old school classic way where, you know, they've touched, but, you know, it would have been cool if they didn't touch until WrestleMania, the two of them. And it's just been built up more on emotion. And again, that's the biggest thing you and I always talk about, whether it be for WrestleMania season where people kind of step up their game, the great promos that we've gotten now with the mere fact that, you know, we've had Kevin Owens, you've had Undertaker, you know, do great promos, and so has Edge. And you're like, this is what we want. We want to get that emotion. We want to be invested into it. Like any great movie or series you see on TV or Netflix or whatever, you want to be involved in it. I remember watching, guys, you guys want to know this little side thing here, you know, I've never been a fan, but I started really getting into Law & Order SVU with Jeff. And like you get so into the storyline that you're like, oh, I hate this person, I hate that, and
encapsulates is a good word.
Yeah, it's true, but I want it more simplistic. I'm not the thesaurus here, I'm just making up words, but it encompasses everything you want in terms of emotions, the ups and downs and that roller coaster feeling. That's what Edge and Randy Orton brought to it. And it was funny too, because it came at a time, Jeff, where you were like, you know, Randy Orton looks like he's just, you know, he's he's going through the motions. And now we can see actually the true Randy Orton. When he's interested in something, he's fully invested in it, he does a really good job.
Yeah, and you talk about a great job, but think about AJ Styles and his reputation, where the Undertaker, you know, wants to work with him. You know, Undertaker has, you know, like he says, he's got, you know, not that many more matches in front of him. He's got more behind him. And
a great line, by the way.
Yeah, and one of the matches he wants to do is with AJ Styles in a Boneyard match. I don't ask me what that's going to be, but still.
If there are no bones in this match, I'll be really pissed off.
The fact that AJ Styles and Undertaker kind of reminds you of a you know, Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, it's a different Undertaker. It's not the guy from, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but still, you know, he can still go. I like the fact that they've included Michelle McCool, and they have included the Mark Calloway character, kind of thinking they were going to go with the American Badass had they been at Raymond James Stadium and come out on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Thought that would have been badass to have him come back. Because honestly, Trendsetter, we're not 8 years old anymore. You know, I know the nostalgia is there with The Undertaker, but this is The Undertaker that I think we should see going forward. You're always going to have the dead man. You're always going to have that spiritual Undertaker. But this American Badass is the kind of guy that I think that the wrestling fan wants to see. And I think as Undertaker concludes his career, I really wouldn't mind him to continue with this going forward. But AJ Styles, Undertaker on paper, it looks to be good. You know, AJ Styles is going to try to get the best out of Undertaker. Again, this is another chance for WWE to get creative. There's nobody there. How will they go about this? That is what's going to have me curious and want me to see this matchup. AJ Styles and Undertaker at WrestleMania. That, to me in itself, is another matchup that you can be like, whoa, you know what I mean? If done right, it could be really a good match.
Well, not only a good match, since the beginning, I said, Jeff, this could be the show stealer. And people were looking at me like, really, if the Taker AJ? It's just because that's how much respect I have for AJ and his ability to make Undertaker look like he's 20 years younger again. And I think that's another big responsibility of why Undertaker, you know, might have chosen AJ Styles. I mean, not the fact that, you know, that must be so huge amount of respect AJ must feel for Undertaker, a guy like him who's so respected in this industry, wanting to work with him. If I was AJ, I'd probably be crying like a baby. I'm like, oh my God, people actually think that highly of me.
He's well respected,
well admired. And I think this is the best opportunity, more than anything he's done so far, Jeff, in the WWE. And that's a strong statement to make, because he's accomplished a lot in WWE, which I think also has been kind of, you know, hasn't been really
recognized.
Oh. It's been kind of a kilter in terms of his run as WWE champion. But again, that's another time for another episode. But I think, you know, it's going to showcase the fact of how good AJ Styles really is. Mm-hmm. And I like this new version of Taker where it's, like you said, you want American Badass. I think we're seeing Mark Calloway now.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the Undertaker, the American Badass version. It's a hybrid version of it. And I think, like you said, it's intriguing because now, you know, I think at WrestleMania 33 was the end of the dead man.
Yeah.
As he ended the match, bringing down his gloves and his hat, the Undertaker that we knew was gone. Now we have this version of The Undertaker, and it's really cool, and it's a really different, interesting dynamic, and I think, you know, what most people sometimes, even at Undertaker's advanced age, don't realize is the guy can still wrestle, but when he has a guy like AJ Styles, they can do so much more to make him look better in the ring. I think, you know, and again, that's another robbery, just like with Drew McIntyre. He's not going to have that moment where the crowd cheers, and he holds that title, and the crowd goes crazy. This is going to be a match where people are like, this is awesome. This is awesome.
Yeah. You're not going to get that face off. You're not going to get that emotion of the fans when they're seeing, wow, this is awesome, like you said. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where the crowd, in essence, is what makes those WrestleMania moments. And that is why it's tough for the people that are against WrestleMania being on today and should be postponed, because it's the crowd. Now, if you do a TLC, if you do something else, right, you get it, whatever like that, there's not a big crowd. But it's just that essence of WrestleMania and what the fans are and what they mean to the event is going to be sorely missed. And it's also going to lead to the curiosity of what's going to happen this weekend, Trendsetter.
I'm getting AJ Styles on this one. He's going over.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say the dead man comes out victorious here.
Right.
But a great match. All right, Trendsetter, you're listening to High Spot Podcast. We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Listen to us on all our podcast platforms and all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Follow us on YouTube. Like and subscribe. You can catch Adventures of the Trendsetter there. And all our video content is available for your viewing pleasure, Trendsetter. All right, so if we went and we went down the line with all these matches, we'd be here forever. We'd be here to WrestleMania 37. So real quick now, we've given you some predictions. Let's go down the final card here. Some other matches, and we'll just go a really quick take. All right, Trendsetter?
You got it.
All right, the Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler here defeating Becky Lynch.
I think they're going to stick with Becky Lynch.
The NXT Women's Championship is on the line. Charlotte Flair won the Royal Rumble match, and chose Rhea Ripley from NXT. This is the first time the NXT Women's Championship is showcased at a WrestleMania. I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair defeating Rhea Ripley, and I think we're going to get Charlotte in NXT, and that's the WWE's attempt to get some ratings as they go, you know, head-to-head with AEW on Wednesday nights.
I agree. I think she's done enough she could do on Raw. She's done all she could do on SmackDown Live, so I think if her defeating and winning the NXT Women's Championship on NXT gives new life to NXT and gives Charlotte new people to work with, which I think would be awesome. So I have Charlotte winning this one.
The SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line. Fatal 5-way match. Bayley defends it against Sasha Banks, Lacey Evans, Tamina, and Naomi. We've always said that there's going to be an eventual Bayley and Sasha feud, and I think Sasha becomes the new women's SmackDown Women's Champion here. I think she gets the best one-upsmanship on her friend Bayley, and I think we get a new women's champion.
I think what's going to happen is Bayley's going to retain. We're going to have that storyline now. The seeds have been planted now where we will eventually get Bayley versus Sasha, but I think it's going to happen at WrestleMania, and Bayley's going to retain right now.
Intercontinental Championship on the line. Sami Zayn defends against Daniel Bryan. Now, this, to me, has the ability to steal in the show. Will it? I don't know. But again, though, kudos to Sami Zayn for his gimmick, for what he's done in the last few months. Daniel Bryan is always that mainstay. But I say here, Sami Zayn retains the Intercontinental title.
I think so, too. I think they want to build something with Sami Zayn. But again, it gives some types of respect and relevancy to the title when you have two guys like Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan competing for it. You know, this has the potential of a show-stopping, match-stealing, you know, WrestleMania, you know, best match on the card. But, I think Sami is retaining it. And I think, you know, it gives a level of respect back to the IC title, which it's so lacking nowadays.
Shout out to former guest on the iSpot podcast, Austin Theory. He will have a WrestleMania debut.
Nice.
With Angel Garza to take on the tag team championships for the tag team championships Raw against the Street Profits. You know, listen, I just want Austin Theory to have a good match. And here's a guy that I don't know if it's full time that he's been moved up to Raw now because of the.
Who knows nowadays? Yeah.
But man, this is a guy here that I've mentioned Nakamura, I've mentioned Asuka, I've mentioned Finn Balor, I've mentioned all these guys that come up to the main roster and should succeed. There is no doubt in my mind that Austin Theory has that it, and I do it in air quotes right now. There is no reason why Austin Theory in the next year should not be a future world champion and the face of a freaking company in the WWE.
I would agree with you. I mean, I got the Street Profits going over on this one, though, but I would think that, you know, everything you just said is 100% true. There's certain people, guys, that when you look at them and you see them, you know, whether they're doing signings, whether they're performing in the ring, whether they're doing promos on the microphone, you're listening to them either in a building, you're watching them on TV, they just have that ability of having that aura, that the thing about them that, you know, you're just drawn to them. A guy like Austin Theory, we've met him, we've had him on the show, he just, you know, he walks like a star, he looks like a star.
Yep.
He can definitely go in the ring, and more importantly, more than any of that we've noticed since we met him and spoke to him, he's a very humble guy too, so he has a strong work ethic, so you know he's going to put the work in to do anything he does 100%. So yeah, I completely agree with you there, Jeff. I mean, I think WWE at this point right now, Jeff, it just has so much talent behind it, but they don't know what to do with it, and that's the problem.
And when you look at it, it makes more sense for WrestleMania to end up being 2 days.
Yeah,
I really do. I really it just at the end of the day, when you have so much talent, and you're going to give us about 20 matches here, okay?
Yeah,
it just feels like eventually down the road, the best sense would be to showcase your talent on a 2-day. WrestleMania.
And well, that's what New Japan did for Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah,
they made a 2-night event. I don't know if they'll do it ever again.
Yeah.
Well, but again, when you have that much talent to promote on the biggest show of your promotion's event of that year, that's what you kind of want to do. So yeah, I mean, why would you want to stay in a building and watch 20 matches when you could just break it down in two? Hey, come back tomorrow and we'll do the rest of the 10 matches. That would make more sense.
SmackDown tag team titles on the line. Triple threat ladder match. The Miz and John Morrison. The champions defend against the Usos and the New Day. I'm going to go with the Miz and Morrison retaining here.
Me too. I think, you know, we've seen enough of the New Day. We've seen enough of the Usos as champions. Right now, it's like they're really trying to rebuild this tag team from years ago. So I say Morrison and Miz retain.
Yeah, women's tag team titles. Yeah, I believe the same thing. I think they're going to retain. Women's tag team titles, Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross here. Listen, I love what Asuka's doing. Kairi Sane is doing a tremendous job as well. But it just seems like they're leaning to that friendship with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
That little cute, adorable friendship that they got. So I think that they're going to put the titles on Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Listen, let's not let's keep it real here. You know, Asuka is so talented, and I think her next step should be in the commentating booth because she's just amazing to do a color commentating. I've been more entertained with her than Byron Saxton or whoever else they put in color commentary because she's just that entertaining. You know, who cares about you not speaking the language?
Language barriers.
You know, emotions speak higher than any words could ever speak, Jeff. But I agree with you. I think, you know, Alexa and Nikki become that fan favorite. And I think, honestly, you know, if this was in front of an audience, you would get that huge roar, that huge excitement behind it. But I think, you know, the Nikki and Alexa will become the new tag team champions. And I think at this point right now, the Kabuki Warriors have kind of
run their course
in a sense. But again, no fault of their own. They're just really, you know, I hope if this does happen for Alexa and Nikki, they put more focus. And again, this happens the same in the men's division. Let's put some more focus on the tag team division because that's how you build stars. That's how you keep people entertained instead of the fact they're not doing it for the IC title. They're not doing it for the U.S. title. So might as well do it for the tag team titles and get some excitement out there.
Rob Gronkowski, I can't even say his name. Rob Gronkowski is your host for WrestleMania, so it'll be interesting what he does. But again,
I'll tell you what, Ron Gronkowski, Rob, I call him Ron. Rob Gronkowski lost it for me when he came out when Mojo Riley introduced him, and he did that ridiculous Alex Riley type of. It wasn't even Alex Riley; he just did the ridiculous dance. And at that moment, I lost it, and I was like, you know, I'm not laughing. Don't smile, Jeff. It's not funny. It's embarrassment. And I was like, this is so ridiculous. This was something serious, something pretty
interesting.
Radar,
though. He pulls the
radar.
And
he acts like a 9-year-old schoolboy.
No.
You know, doesn't know. He's on a sugar rush or something.
He loves that. Elias and King Corbin. You know, that matchup, I'm going to go with Elias. No, actually, you know what? I'm going to go with King Corbin. King Corbin can't be stopped. He's the irresistible force of WWE right now. So King Corbin, I think, is going to beat Elias.
I agree with you there, and that's as far as I'll go.
Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley. Let's go Aleister Black. Fate to Black. I love that move. I think a push is imminent for Aleister Black. Bobby Lashley, let's be honest, we haven't heard from him in a long time. I don't know if Lana's going to be in his corner, but you talk about a
at this point, do people remember that Lana was with Bobby Lashley?
Exactly.
You know, she's been kind of off TV for a while.
Yeah, shooting a movie. So, you know, Aleister Black, I think that he's a guy that's an up-and-comer, and I think that his Fate to Black is a tremendous move, and I think they're going to go with Aleister Black.
I would agree. I mean, Bobby Lashley, man, what happened there? It's like this guy's got a lot of tools, got a look about him, but just couldn't do anything with him. And I think Aleister Black, you know, since moving up to the main roster, has showcased he has that potential. I mean, we've always known he has that potential. But, you know, they really seem to be showcasing him more. And he's just been really good in the ring. And I think it's been that slow progression that you always want. But, yeah, I don't see him losing this. I see him going over and getting the win over Bobby Lashley.
Trendsetter, it is WrestleMania, so big. It's going to take 2 nights, Trendsetter. So it's going to be a chance for us to sit back, the wrestling fan, and watch wrestling, Trendsetter. Again, it's not the way that we thought it was going to be. No one thought that the world was going to be the way it is now. So, again, we're adapting to it. And, again, it's competing as nothing right now. You know, it's content. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend. We'll have a post for you guys on Sunday night, so you can check that out too, Trendsetter. Again, follow us on our YouTube, all our social media at High Spot Podcast, on bodyslam.net and Shining Wizards Network, Trendsetter. You know what? It's a new world, Trendsetter. It's a new way to watch WrestleMania. We will sit there and, again, hit us up on all our social media, High Spot Podcast. We want to hear from you guys of what's going on. Post-show, preview show, Trendsetter. High Spot Podcast is getting back adjusted to this kind of wrestling world, Trendsetter. And I'm glad that you're alongside me here to do this. And, you know, we're back here in full force, Trendsetter, and WrestleMania is upon us.
It is upon us, guys. The road is no more. We are here. Now, granted, our destination is not Tampa Bay, Florida. It's actually Orlando in the Performance Center. But at the end of the day, guys, despite what's ever going on in this world that we're dealing with now in this crazy time, you know, WrestleMania will continue on and we'll enjoy it for what it's worth and try to embrace the moment that is right in front of us, guys. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I know Jeff and I will look at it, we'll analyze it, we'll give our thoughts and on social media, we'll critique it, we'll do a post on it too. But at the end of the day, mark this day on your calendars, guys, because despite everything, this is an historic moment, not for the mere fact that WrestleMania is 2 nights now. It's the mere fact that hopefully this will never happen again. And secondly, this will be the only time we'll ever be able to deal with a situation like this ever in our lifetime because, you know, you talk about WrestleMania moments. This is going to be a WrestleMania moment not just for the performers in the Performance Center doing WrestleMania, but for all of us as fans watching it because the experience has been different. There's nothing similar in terms and sense of normalcy for us. So we hope that come next year, when we talk about this more during the post, Jeff, when we're in Los Angeles, California, it'll be a lot better experience. And more than that, and sometimes we get lost when we critique things. We're talking about wrestling, you're talking about sports, you're talking about politics, you're talking about religion, anything. It's easy to lose sight of what you have, and more importantly, the mere fact that when you had something right in front of you so good, you didn't appreciate what you had until it was gone. It's been kind of taken away from us for a little bit, so
yeah,
we hope
sit back
come
and
Los
enjoy,
Angeles,
guys.
Enjoy
yeah.
it for what it is. It's wrestling, guys. Let's not take it too seriously. We'll break it down with you guys on Sunday, but ultimately after that, let's just make sure that the next time this happens and we're all gathered around, going to the conventions, going to the to the block parties, going to all the events around WrestleMania weekend, and then ultimately culminating at Los Angeles for WrestleMania, let's just enjoy it and have fun. And that's what it's all about, Jeff.
Yep.
So, guys, have you been listening to the High Spot Podcast? For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, the scoundrel, I am the trendsetter, Brian Bray. And Jeff's donning a new look, guys. So, unfortunately, we couldn't debut it in Tampa. But, again, down the road, you guys will see it. He's cut. He's fresh. He's happy. He's no longer ponytail Marty Skrull. He's a little metrosexual look for you, Jeff.
Metrosexual.
Yes, definitely.
Well, I will be watching in my new look WrestleMania tonight, guys. Enjoy, please. And remember, we do this for you guys. We do this for you,
the crew.
Happy WrestleMania weekend, boys. Enjoy.